Broadcasting live from the Biz 1190 studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for the Business Radio X Week in Review. We know you're busy, so we've got you covered. Catch up on the week's top Atlanta business headlines and meet the industry execs and thought leaders who move Atlanta's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Dana Barrett.
Good afternoon. It's Sunday, February 16th, 2014. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, and with me today, producer Mike Roy. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, very well. Survived ice storm number two in same amount of weeks.
And then your heart was warmed by Valentine's Day, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure it's a big holiday, yes, in your household.
what are you exactly implying there?
I'm not saying anything. Not saying anything. I would never call you out on your romantic life. Well, I might, but not today. All right. So, Valentine's week, Olympics, storm number two, Atlanta. No cutesy name, I don't think we have. You know, we had like Snow Jam 2014 for the first one, and now it's like
Snowpocalypse.
Snowpocalypse. Now it's just kind of like, oh, whoops. And we have to talk a little bit about the weather, even though it does seem long gone now, as we just listened to a weather report that said it's going to be 70 next week, or close to. But, you know, Tuesday was like the biggest non-event ever. You know, they warned us on Monday that it was going to start at 7 p.m. and go through 7 a.m. and there was going to be freezing on Tuesday morning and yada, yada, yada. So all the schools closed the day before, right? On Monday, they announced all the school closings. And then we woke up Tuesday morning to a big, fat nothing. Nothing happening. It was raining. It wasn't that cold.
It was about 6 or 7 degrees too warm for anything to happen.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah, high 30s.
I'm going to say, it was a little bit like we cried wolf, and there was no wolf. You know, Atlanta, poor Atlanta, really, because damned if we did, damned if we didn't. You know, if we had not closed everything and the snow had come, we would have been embarrassed, and it would have been weird. But it was just so silly. And thank goodness, and it was really, really funny. I don't know if you watch any of the local news coverage, but they drove as far north as they had to find actual snow on Tuesday, and that's what they were showing on the news, I think purposefully, so that the national coverage wouldn't be like, oh, those knuckleheads in Atlanta, nothing happened there, look at that, it's just raining. But so they were being clear to show the full map of Georgia and showing that there were snow in some of the northern, you know, in the mountains or whatever. It was so ridiculous. So I don't know about you, but I did end up going out Tuesday afternoon to the gym because I was like, let me do it now before we're shut down for two more days. And of course, we were legitimately shut down Wednesday and Thursday. Lots of people without power. I fortunately had power, so I had a nice comfy 2 days at home.
Yeah, me too. This was much more ice related than snow related.
Yeah.
And Tuesday, I'm actually kind of glad Tuesday nothing happened because I didn't get everything done on Monday. Tuesday, I got propane for my grill in case I lost power and have no way else
smart
to cook. Yeah, and just stuff like that that I didn't get to take care of on Monday.
Yeah, it was pretty, and we handled it okay in the sense that, you know, there were no major traffic jams. Everything was closed.
Okay, quite the opposite. It was actually a ghost town.
It was a ghost town. It was literally a ghost town. But you know what? Better that than the alternative. So I guess enough said.
And I don't really blame them for over-preparing
for
this one based on the hideous underplanning we had 2 weeks
ago. Now, here's the thing. I hate when people do this, so I'm about to do something that I hate, and then I'll have to talk about myself on the soapbox because it's just silly. But I am from the Northeast, and growing up in the Northeast, you never knew until the morning of whether or not you had school. Nobody made a decision to close school. They put their alarms on and they woke up at 4 or 5 in the morning and they looked and they checked the weather forecast at that time, and that's when they closed school. So I do think the fact that they made the decision to close the schools Monday afternoon at 4 or 5 o'clock based on the forecast at that point was a little overzealous. Other than that, I think they did a good job. So no complaints.
And the weather kind of did what it was supposed to do and not start in the afternoon. It started kind of overnight.
Right. And, you know, I want to, you know, just kind of send out, some thoughts of love because of Valentine's Day, I guess. And, you know, to the small businesses who really suffered during the snow, because 3 days they were closed. And, you know, like my dog groomer, the place I take my dog for his little bath and his little teeth brushing and his little haircut and everything. Of course, he's a little dog, which is why I had to put the word little before everything. But, I mean, they were closed for 3 days, and they're a small business. They have two locations in Atlanta. Both locations were closed, obviously, and that's a lot of lost revenue. And that And that's just one example. I mean, there were small businesses all over town. Restaurants probably losing money, having inventory go bad. You know, it's tough. So my heart goes out to all of those small businesses, and I hope you're recovering well. And I hope everyone gets out and supports your local businesses over the next couple of weeks when the weather is beautiful. All right. Let's get to some Business Radio X clips. As always, we have good stuff. Now, as you can imagine, there weren't a lot of shows happening live on Business Radio X this week because, yeah, snow.
Same story as 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So, but it was interesting because we did have some shows, and our Gwinnett studio sent me a clip from an archive from a show from not too long ago. It was from late in January. So this first clip is from the show called Business Leaders of Today. It airs every Friday at 11:30 on the Gwinnett station for Business Radio X. You can get all the information on that at businessradiox.com. Anyway, the hosts of the show are Tess Tern and Angel Nolan. And this clip is, they had a guest, Michael Chapin, with the Greater Gwinnett Championship. I don't think I got the whole thing here, but it's a golf tournament. And so Michael's talking about this golf tournament and how golf can help business. So take a listen.
Well, you know, specifically, you know, with our affiliation with the Champions Tour, we are bringing in the legends of the game. So, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the people that you've grown up with, as far as Tom Watson, Fred Couples, Ben Crenshaw, these are the guys who played on our tour and specifically who will be at our tournament. So from a business standpoint and also just from a fan's point of view, it's a really unique experience to come out and have an up-close first-person look at, you know, these legends of the game. You know, specifically from a business standpoint, we have two pro-ams, Wednesday and Thursday of tournament week. And, you know, if as a business here in Metro Atlanta, if you're trying to look at a great experience to take out and provide some of your key business relationships and your clients, playing in that pro-am is a really unique experience here in Metro Atlanta. You know, you can go to a Falcons game or you can go to a Braves game, and, you know, those are great experiences. But, you know, the fact that you can provide 5 hours with a Tom Watson and he can, you know, tell you stories about playing at Pebble Beach and St. Andrews and going up against Jack Nicklaus and Lee Trevino, you know, that's a real experience that you can't get anywhere in Metro Atlanta. So from that standpoint, you know, we have businesses that come off the golf course after 5 hours with these guys, and, you know, they say, besides getting married, that's probably the best day of my entire life. So from that standpoint, it's really a unique experience.
Okay, again, that was from the Business Leaders of Today radio ship? Okay. I don't know what's happening here. Maybe I need another cup of coffee. Let's try that again. Business Leaders of Today radio show. Exactly, on businessradiox.com. You can listen to the entire interview at businessleaders.businessradiox.com. That event hasn't happened yet, so there's still time to get involved. And one of the things I love about that clip is that he was talking about participating in the pro-am, like bringing your business, your best clients out, and actually, you know, doing a round of golf with some of the famous golfers. What he was saying that cracked me up was that a lot of men come off the course, you know, after getting to play with Tom Watson or somebody famous like that, and they say it was the best day other than their wedding. It was the best day of their lives. Well, first of all, I appreciate that they know they'll get in trouble if they don't at least, you know, remember their wives in some way. So I appreciate that. But also, I just think it's so funny because I can't imagine that there are very many women. I'm sure there are some women who are serious golfers who would love that as well. But there aren't as many women who would say that other than my wedding, this was the best day ever playing golf with somebody. I'm just saying. I don't know. I'm sure there's lots of women out there right now that are shaking their fist at me saying I'm being a sexist. But, you know, and while I'm on the subject of being a sexist, I'm going to say I put this down to maybe talk about on the soapbox, but it's not really a long enough gripe for a whole soapbox. So I'm just going to do a little mini soapbox before we get to the commercial break here, because I went shopping this week, something that for me is as good as it gets. I love going shopping. And I bought a couple of new dresses, and I was thinking to myself as I was trying them on that the zipper up the back of a woman's dress is the most ridiculous, I'm sorry, sexist, unfair. Whoever invented the zipper up the back was a jerk. It's very hard to zip your own dress up the back. So if you don't have a partner at home to zip your dress for you, you are literally like jumping up and down and, like, you know, doing yoga to just pull your freaking zipper up. It's really annoying. So yeah, I'd like to see somebody design some men's clothing with some zippers and buttons in the back and see how long that lasts and how many men decide to adopt that fashion style and trend. I'm thinking it wouldn't happen. Men don't do silly nonsense like that.
I would say formal wear, we get the short end of the stick.
We get a lot of pieces and parts to your formal wear. Looks,
I have no idea what it's like to wear...
Pantyhose, for example?
Yeah, but just from what it appears, it looks like the men's wear are more constricted than the women's. I have no idea if that's true or not.
I mean, the necktie, you know, the bow tie, I can see that being sort of constricting. And you do, for formal wear, you do have a lot of pieces and parts as a man, whereas woman, you have one, you put on a dress and you're good to go. However, that said, I still would like to see the zipper up the back on one man's garment and see how long that trend would last. It wouldn't, just saying. All right, we have so much to talk about today. I can't believe I spent the whole first segment just talking about nonsense and weather, and I don't know how this happened. But we have...
Those make for the best shows sometimes.
I know. We have national stories. We have some local stories to catch you up on. We have more great Business Radio X clips. I mean, there's so much. And there is a little soapbox today that is, you know, something that's been on my mind for a while now. So
that was just a teaser.
That was just a teaser of the mood I am in.
Just getting you ready for the soapbox.
That is correct. All right, we are going to take a quick break, but stay with us. We have more great stuff coming up on Week in Review. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. It is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett. And you know, I forgot to mention in the last segment that you can call us here in the studio if you would like.
We don't forbid it.
We don't. 404-231-1190 is our number. We're happy to hear from you. If you have questions, comments, your own soapbox, anything you want, call us. 404-231-1190. I kind of double dog dare you to call us, really. Just saying. You can also, if you're shy, you can just tweet using my personal Twitter, which is at Dana H. Barrett, or you can use the hashtag BizRadio. That's B-I-Z Radio.
Shameless self-plugs.
Yeah, I have more of those. Always. Always. Okay, so I want to hit some of the national headlines you may have missed. I mean, part of our mission here at Week in Review is to catch you up on things you may have missed. So if you did not catch it, unfortunately, Shirley Temple has passed away. Shirley Temple Black. She is the former child star and then U.S. ambassador to Ghana and Czechoslovakia. She was 85 years old, and they did not release a cause of death, but that's a sad loss for the world. She was, she's quite an icon. I don't really think there's anybody alive who doesn't know who Shirley Temple is. I could be wrong. I haven't done a survey. But and speaking of surveys, I do have a survey that I want to talk about later. Remind me if I forget or if we start to run out of time, because there is a survey I want to talk about. But also in the headlines, Paula Deen, who got in a lot of trouble, I want to say about a year. Was it a year, year to 2 years ago, for some long ago comments that were sort of racially inappropriate? We won't get into it. But anyway, she lost all her sponsors at the time, and, you know, I felt bad for her because the whole thing came out in a court situation. You know, it really seemed like, I don't know. The thing is, and I've said this before, you know, when somebody says a slur that's against me, I don't like it. They say a slur against somebody else, I'm like, oh, well, that's really not that bad. Well, that's stupid. You know, I can understand that if you were in the group of people that she was maligning, that you would be upset. But we're in this world of ultra political correctness, which I find somewhat annoying and absurd. And, you know, the fact that I guess the sponsors didn't really have a choice, but like the Home Depot and Walmart and Caesars all sort of dropped her. And OK, anyway, back in the headlines, she has just recently gotten investment from a Phoenix based firm. It's called Najafi Companies. And they're going to back some of the things she's doing. And I'm sort of glad that she's getting another shot because I think she's a nice woman, and I don't think she really meant it. I think she was just raised in the South in a different time period, and stuff comes out of your mouth sometimes, and especially when you're a public figure that you know, you can get in trouble for. If you're wondering who the heck Najafi Companies is, some of their other investments include the Phoenix Suns basketball team and Sky Mall, that magazine we all look at when we're bored on an airplane. Anyway, they also have some other media investments, which is why they're interested in Paula Deen. But anyway, there you go. Here's a story I thought was interesting. there's a proposal out there backed by Senator Elizabeth Warren, who's the Democrat from Massachusetts. This is a classic example of not to headline surf, right? My favorite thing. I always tell people, please don't headline surf because the headlines are misleading. I read the headline and I was like, what? But the headline was, Elizabeth Warren's postal banking idea has big public support. And I was thinking, what? Like, more government getting into our lives, like digging into, like, now we're going to have banking in the post office. Why are they getting into banking? But then I took my own advice and I read the article. And it was actually kind of interesting because there are parts of town in Atlanta and in lots of major metropolitan areas where the banks won't go because they're sort of unsafe areas of town. And so in those places, the only avenue you have to cash a check, let's say, is those check cashing places that charge an arm and a leg. They, you know, tack on these high fees for people who, you know, so they're sort of, you're already living and or working in a bad neighborhood, so you probably are a relatively low income person, and then you're sort of forced to go into these terrible check cashing places that are ripping you off, shall we say, or taking advantage, let's say, maybe not ripping you off, but taking advantage of the situation. So this idea is to, in those areas, they all have post offices, is to actually provide some banking services for those low-income neighborhoods. I kind of like it. I don't know where it's going to go, if it's going to happen, but I thought it was an interesting story and, worth bringing to your attention. All right, you can't have missed this one, because this one was a big one this week. Comcast and Time Warner merging. Comcast and Time Warner merging. Now, lots of controversy about this because, first of all, they both, can I say this on the air? They both suck. And so now you're going to take two big sucky companies and put them together and create a huge monolithic sucky company that is going to screw their customers left, right, and center and make it hard for competition. So this has not been approved yet. They have to get federal approval because they're so big. But there's a lot of people upset about this, and rightfully so, in my opinion. I think this is a really bad idea. I mean, maybe not for them as a money-making scheme, but for all of us, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, I agree. It's a bad idea to merge.
And I hate the cable industry. Like, first of all, that industry in and of itself is one of the worst-rated industries for customer service of all industries, right? One of the only other industries that's as bad is internet providers, of which they are that too. So they do the things in which they don't take care of customers. The only competition they really have on the cable side is that a lot of younger people primarily, but people in general, are opting for some of these other things. You still need an internet provider, but maybe now they're, instead of getting cable, they're watching Hulu Plus and they're watching Netflix and they're streaming and they're watching Amazon Unbox and all that stuff. So they have a little bit of competition from outside cable, but they make it up because they also sell the internet service.
Yeah, and the internet's never going away, and that's always going to be number one. It's surpassing cable, I think.
Yeah, and I think eventually it will probably just be, cable will go away, probably. Although you never know, because there are parts
of it. I don't
know
about that, but internet's always going to be rule the roost with that.
And especially, like I said, with younger people. I know my daughter, who is a senior in college, I don't think they even have cable. They watch everything on internet TV. It's like, I asked her the other day if she was watching the Olympics, and she was like, well, I have to wait to watch it tomorrow when it comes on, you know, Hulu or whatever. So, all right, before we run out of time, I want to air another quick segment for you. In my tweet that I sent out this morning, I promised some information on ATDC. Well, this next clip... Oh, I have to ask you a question, Mike Roy. Do you notice anything different about my station over here today? Anything look different to you?
You have a new shirt on.
I have a lot less paper on the table. Why is that, everyone? Because I have embraced technology. That is correct. I am using Evernote. All of my stories that I have done in my show prep are in Evernote, and I was very nervous coming in that I would screw something up, and I still might screw something up.
I thought you may have just forgotten your notes.
No.
That's why you're using the computer.
They are all here in Evernote. So, app of the week, Evernote, and it's working out well so far. On that note, let's take a listen to our next clip. This is from the Atlanta Business Radio Show, hosted by Lee Cantor and Stone Payton on BusinessRadioX.com. You can hear the whole thing at AtlantaBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com, I think. The guests on the show were Katie Elizabeth from Tie Atlanta and Rachel Zick from ATDC. And the two of them have an announcement to make. Let's take a listen.
So ATDC and TIE are very excited to announce that we have officially partnered. We are collaborating on several events and in some really exciting ways. I'll let Katie cover some of the details.
Yeah, totally. So as a lot of people in Georgia know, ATDC has the world's best education for startups. And Tie Atlanta, I might say, has the best mentor network, not just with our local charter member mentors, but also with our international connectivity. And so the first thing that we're going to be partnering on is TIEX, which is the accelerator I founded and currently run with TIE, where we're going to be using ATDC's education, tapping into their network and combining that with their mentors and our mentors as well. So we're so excited because we're going to bring the best of both worlds together for a lot of entrepreneurs in the Atlanta and Georgia area.
So now, how is it going to work from a logistical standpoint?
Yep, so we've been a little bit in stealth mode the past few months, meeting and planning and working out the details. I think we're going to meet in ATDC space and go through some of their classes, and then we'll be bringing the TIE mentors over to ATDC. So we'll also have Georgia Tech's network of professors and the deep IP that's there, some of the research that we can be bringing to all entrepreneurs as well. And then anybody that's going through the program, you know, if they need sales or business partners or anything internationally, Ty can certainly help with that.
All right. Again, that was from the Atlanta Business Radio Show, and I verified the web address. It is atlantabusinessradio.businessradiox.com. And so again, that was Katie from Ty and Rachel Zick from ATDC talking about a new partnership between the two of them. I wanted to share that especially because our Atlanta is really now, it's startup central here. We are the place to start a business. And I'm going to try to coin that phrase, startup central, just you heard it here first. So one of the things that's nice that's happening in our startup community here is there are a lot of organizations that are all separate, and they're starting to actually come together and work together to provide an even better community of startup support. So look for that to continue as the year goes on. We have more from Katie and Elizabeth after the break, but we will take a quick break and then all kinds of good stuff coming up. Local news stories, soapboxes, all kinds of things. Stay with us. All right, we are back dancing to our jazzy theme here. We always enjoy that. It's like part of our regular third segment return, I think. We come back and we...
Third segment dance party.
Yeah, I think that's what happens here. you can call us 404-231-1190 or tweet at Dana H. Barrett or with the hashtag BizRadio, B-I-Z Radio. It's the Business Radio X Week in Review. And right before the break, we aired a clip from Atlanta Business Radio on businessradiox.com, and it was with Tie Atlanta and ATDC. Now, if you're going like, what the heck is Tie Atlanta and what the heck is ATDC? Tie Atlanta, they're both organizations that deal with startups. ATDC specifically in the tech sector. Tie Atlanta, I think, more globally, both in the fact that they have chapters all over the world and in that they don't just deal with tech startups, but they, in Atlanta, are forming a partnership, and I was mentioning the fact that the startup community here is really coming together. I've seen this sort of happening over the last year, and I expect it to continue. I think they sort of realize that they can't all do the same things. People can only go to so many programs in a week or a month. They're busy running their businesses, and so if they come together and share calendars and schedules and speakers and things like that and come together in bigger conferences and bigger groups, they can sort of serve people better. So some of that's starting to happen. Lots of different websites out there to get information on. But anyway, we do have this other clip from Katie and Rachel talking more about their individual organizations and what they do. So this will kind of help you understand who these two groups are and how good it is that they're coming together. Take a listen.
Right now, ATDC has a program for more advanced companies that I'll let Rachel talk about, and that would be some place that TIEX companies aspire to go to. Right now, if you have an idea or a ton of ideas, or there's something you're already working on, even if you've already launched, TIEX is an accelerator, so it's nights and weekends, different than a typical incubator accelerator, designed to help you move the needle and move to your next stage of success as an entrepreneur. And that might mean selecting one idea to start working on. It might mean killing all of your ideas and creating a new one, or it might mean anything up to starting to scale what you've already built. So we'll provide the most cutting-edge education from ATDC, as well as, you know, well over 100 charter member mentors in the Atlanta area from TIE, as well as 10,000 or so mentors that we can tap into globally. Wow. From TIE. And then from going through TIEX, which again is for the earlier stage, right? So it's probably pre-revenue, not necessarily, but most likely they could go into one of ATDC's programs, which I'll let Rachel talk about right now.
Sure. So the Advanced Technology Development Center serves sort of two different audiences. One is our community. So anybody can be a member. A community member is like an individual. Someone interested in plugging into the entrepreneurial community, they are welcome to many of our events and can take classes with us. And that's sort of how you get started. Now, our ATDC Select companies are groomed, vetted entrepreneurs who have companies poised to be great. And that's where we come in and help them really launch and transform into the successful companies. So to be an ATDC Select company, as Katie mentioned, you're already pretty far down the pipeline. And then we really come in and help you make that change. And we also have entrepreneurs in residence who work with the Select companies. It's one of the benefits of our program. They are seasoned industry professionals, serial entrepreneurs. So they will be a big part of serving with TIE's mentors as well to really have those two powerhouses come together and connect with the audiences at our events and in this new community.
All right. Again, that was from the Atlanta Business Radio Show on BusinessRadioX.com. And I think they explained themselves pretty well. So I don't feel like I need to really say much more about that. Just interesting groups to sort of stay on, you know, in touch with, I guess, is the best way to say it. We did some national stories, so let's do some local stories, and then we'll get into some of the weirder stuff if we have time. Okay, first of all, who doesn't like baked goods? I know I do. Baked goods are delicious. Yes, I brought Mike Roy some chocolate chip cookies today.
She brings me cookies every now and then, and I'm not... Who am I to complain?
Right. There you go. Well, anyway, that's not actually a news story, in case you were wondering. But there is
to me.
there you go. There is a related news story, which is Charlotte-based bakery, Amelie, I think is how you pronounce it. It's French. Are planning their first Atlanta location. So they have a couple locations in North Carolina currently. They are planning to open a location at 840 Marietta Street over on the west side. So that area continuing to flourish. And now it will be flourishing with delicious, tasty baked goods.
And it'll smell better.
It will smell delicious. Okay, also, you know, local company Spanx, which this is almost a national story now because Spanx is such a huge company, but it is here in Atlanta, so therefore we care. Their CEO has stepped down. That's not the owner, in case you're freaking out. Sarah Blakely, of course, still there, but their chief executive officer, Lori Ann Goldman, is leaving the company. And they are appointing a footwear expert as an interim CEO, which has everyone wondering if they're going to expand into shoes. Now, Sarah Blakely has said in the past that if she could create the world's most comfortable high heel shoe, she could retire and be happy forever. Like, she's already so revolutionized women's wear with Spanx. I mean, women kneel down when she walks by. They love Spanx so much, you know. But I would, like, literally find her, and I'm saying it right now, I might actually kiss her feet if she created high heel shoes that were comfortable and stylish. I would. I'm just, you heard it here. If it happens and she's willing, which she probably would not be, I would kneel down and kiss her feet. Okay? There.
Twice she said that. Twice. So she definitely means it.
And this is recorded. We
yes.
Here's an opportunity.
There's no way to get rid of it.
Here's an opportunity for a shameless self-plug. If you've ever missed one of our delightful Week in Review shows, they're all recorded, and there is a feed on SoundCloud where you can hear them all in
podcast
form.
And she stresses the word delightful, too.
Delightful. And also, you can go to danabarrett.com to look at the podcast or listen to the podcast
as
well.
Oh, that was even more shameless.
Yes, totally was. I admit it. All right. Also in local news, the developer Oliver McMillan, who I think probably most people are familiar with, if for nothing else, for their signs around Buckhead, because they are the firm that is developing the Buckhead area, was in contention to build the new Atlanta Braves Stadium, but they have pulled out. They no longer want to be involved. I wish I could say it was for, you know, political reasons and they were standing up for like, hey, we don't want the Braves to move to Cobb County, but they could care less about that. They've just decided that it, you know, building the stadium and the things, the development around the stadium is not really what their core business is about, which is really about developing urban areas. So they have decided not to get involved with that. All right, what else is happening locally? A couple more quick things. One, I don't know if you heard about this, but the King children, Martin Luther King Jr.'s children, are fighting again. And Maria Saporta, who does the Saporta Report, wrote an interesting article about it. She sort of knows all of them personally. The deal basically is that Bernice King, the sister, the daughter, I guess you could say, issued a statement last week that her two brothers wanted to sell their father's Nobel Peace Prize and his traveling Bible. They had gone so far as to file a lawsuit to get those possessions, I think, from Bernice. And they are constantly squabbling, these kids, over stuff, over stuff like this, like selling his prized possessions to make money. It's so shameful and sad. And he would be appalled, I think. And I think they're tarnishing his legend and his reputation. I mean, not his reputation, because everyone, you know, he stands. But, you know, it just looks ugly.
It looks bad.
It looks bad. And it's disgusting. And can I just say, I don't know these people personally, and I'm sure they're good people, and I'm sure they have their reasons on the one hand. On the other hand, I'm going to have to be rude right now and say, get a job. If you need money, go make money on your own merit. And you know what? You can use your father's name. Write a book about being the sons of Martin Luther King Jr. and sell that.
Like, and that would sell.
Sell that. Don't try to sell his Nobel Peace Prize. Keep that in the family. I mean, come on. Or donate it to a museum. Like, what's wrong with you people? It's just irritating.
You can't sell stuff like that.
It's wrong.
It's very wrong.
It's totally wrong. And it's upsetting. Ugh. I might cry. All right, I won't cry.
Don't cry.
All right. I had to get that on. Today is just like, everything is stressing me out today. And these stories are just hitting me personally for some reason. Except for this next one. This next story, I have no personal attachment to one way or the other. But I thought I should let you know that, if you didn't already know, that Georgia is ranked fourth in the U.S. in electric vehicle registrations for last year, which is a pretty impressive showing. I mean, the one thing about Atlanta, certainly, is that we are a driving town. So at least where some of us are driving electric cars, that's a good thing for the environment, right? Well, now there's been a bill introduced. Oops, and see, now my technology is getting. I'm trying to use Evernote, people, and I'm struggling a little bit. All right. A bill has been introduced by former Alpharetta Mayor Chuck Martin, which is, this is a quote from the Atlanta Business Chronicle, threatening to suck the air out of the electric vehicle adoption in the Peach State. Essentially, there's a $5,000 tax credit right now that's available to buyers of these new zero-emission vehicles, and that's in addition to the $7,500 federal tax credit. So that's $12,500 in tax credits you get if you buy an electric vehicle. And they're looking to get rid of the state tax credit. Now, I want to say that it sort of makes me want to run out and buy an electric vehicle now before the tax credit goes away, because that's a pretty good deal. And also, I'm just letting you all know, if you want to buy one, do it now before the tax credit goes away. All right, on that note, I think, with that little piece of advice coming from me to you.
That sounded kind of scolding in tone there.
Well, no, I'm just saying, it's a good opportunity to save some money, so go do it now. On that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with some topics for discussion, shall we say, some soapbox, coming up right after the break. All right, we are back. It's the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, still sitting here hanging out on a beautiful Sunday with my good friend and producer, Mike Roy. And you can call us 404-231-1190. You might want to call us during this segment because I got a lot of stuff to tell you. And I'm going to try to get through some of this quickly because such good stuff. I'm going to go from maybe the least antagonizing, maybe, and go that direction. But anyway, a friend of mine sent me a link. Okay, my boyfriend sent me a link to this article, and you know this falls into our headline surfing category because it says, this is what it says: it's official, Apple sells more computers than all Windows PCs combined. But that is not really what the story is saying if you read it. What they did is they, which is also one of my giant pet peeves, is, okay, let me back up. One of my giant pet peeves is that you can take statistics and mold them and shape them, I think, to support any claim you have. There's going to be a statistic out there that will pretty much support anything.
Yeah, we call it manipulation.
There you go. And in this case, what this article was saying is that if you take all of the tablets and the iPhones and you lump them all together and you compare that only to Windows PCs, not Androids and other phones and other tablets, just Windows PCs against all Apple products, kind of, then Apple wins. Yeah. So, don't headline surf. Just saying. Interesting story, though. And I will say this. The point of the story was really to emphasize how much more computing we're doing on tablets and cell phones, smartphones. So from that perspective, it's an interesting story. But if you just look at the headline, you go, wow, you know, Apple's exploding. But the reality is that...
Yeah, a bit misleading.
Yeah. If you compare strictly Apple computers to Windows computers, Windows is still in the lead. Sorry, folks. Okay, moving on. Did you catch the gender issue on Facebook over the week, Mike Roy? No, maybe.
I've heard about it.
All right, here's what's happening. In case you, this is why we love this show, because we can catch you all up on things you have not heard. Well, apparently, Facebook is now allowing you to put basically whatever you want in the gender description on your profile, so you no longer have to identify as male or female. And the way it works, when I saw the story, I went into my Facebook profile and looked at it so I could see exactly what it's doing. So if you click on gender and you say, I want to change this, you now get, or I guess if you're signing up for the first time, you get an empty box in which you can type anything you want. But if you start typing something into the box, a drop down comes down. And apparently there are approximately 50 new combinations of words you can use to describe your gender, which... of course, Fox News loved and went to town on. They were all criticizing and like blah, 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 and whatever. And there's all news stories all over the web about it. I personally think this is one of those things where, like, who cares? Who cares? If somebody doesn't identify as male or female, and there are people who do not, or transgender, whatever the case may be, let them put whatever they want. Who cares? It's Facebook. We're not changing, like, the U.S. Census, for Christ's sake. You know, it's come on, you know, get over it. And why make fun of people? Basically, what I feel like what was happening with, of course, it was Elizabeth Hasselbeck on Fox News that was making fun of this, and several of the other hosts as well. She was not the only one. But, you know, they were basically saying, you know, how many do you have to have? And they didn't know what intersex was, which is a term that's been in use since the 1950s. And just people, come on, leave it alone already. It's just silly. So, okay, I've run out of steam on that topic. Let's move on. I think I'm just going to go to the official soapbox now. I'm going to pull out the official soapbox and talk about a couple things that have been on my mind. We already talked about zippers on the back of dresses. Annoying. Okay. The other thing that happened to me recently, which is just a minor soapbox, is that one of my applications that I use all the time in my video production work is Final Cut Pro X, and they changed it in the latest release, you know, and I just like updated and didn't know it was all going to change. And then I had to spend hours relearning the stupid thing because they reorganized the file structure. Why do software applications have to do that? That's my question. And if they're going to do it, could they at least like give you really good notes on what to do and how to do it and instructions and whatever? No. Thankfully, there's Google and you can figure everything out, but like, I wasted a lot of my valuable time. My time is valuable, Mike Roy, and I wasted a lot of it trying to refigure out an application. So that irritated me. And while I was in the mood to be irritated, this other subject rolled up into my brain that's been in my brain for a long time, and it's business related, so I wanted to share it with you all. If you work for a company and they have a logo, which most companies do, and then they create logo wear, shirts and bags and mugs and things like that, and depending on what they use them for. So let's back up. I don't have a problem with logos. I have a logo even on danabarrett.com. Shameless self-plug. But if I made all my employees, I don't have any employees, but if I made them all wear shirts that had my logo on the chest, I think that would be odd, first of all. But here's my point. Companies spend a lot of money on these items of clothing that have the logo on them that they arbitrarily sometimes, some companies, give to their employees who will never wear them. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm a woman and I like stylish clothing. And if you're going to give me a man's golf shirt, I will never wear it. If you are going to give me a man's, like, button-down Oxford shirt, I will never wear it. If you're going to give me a man's cut t-shirt, I will never wear it. And if you make me wear it to a conference or a trade show or something like that, I will be bitter because I will feel like I don't look good. So it's a huge waste of money. That's my point. Or they make backpacks or they make coffee mugs. And you know where the coffee mug ends up? In my cabinet, in my house. So I'm not branding. Nobody's seeing it except me. And it's not making me...
It's a reminder of where you are.
Right. And it's not making me feel more loyal to the company. It's just a waste of money. This is the question. When you are making these decisions as a company, what is behind them? Like, what are you thinking? There are also companies I've noticed and that I have worked for where the logo wear is worn by the executives, right? So the executives walk around in their Oxford shirt with the logo emblazoned on their chest. And I think to myself, I, the underpaid employee, have to buy my own wardrobe to show up here every day, but the executive, who's already making a bajillion more dollars than I am, that's a very technical term, is also getting his wardrobe paid for because he's wearing the company-paid-for Oxford shirts. Not fair. Anyway, oh God, I have to breathe. I just find the whole thing to be silly. You know, not everybody has a preppy style and wants to, and I'm not even just talking about women, men too. I mean, not all men want to walk around in a golf shirt or a blue button-down Oxford with a logo on their chest. So, you know, and are you really just asking your employees to be a billboard for your brand? Like, that's also kind of obnoxious. Like, I'm already getting paid and I don't want, what? No. The whole thing needs to be rethought. And if you, by the way, some of those shirts are expensive. You know, they can be $40, $50, $60 a shirt. You're spending $60 a shirt on 300 employees or something like that. That's some cash. You could probably do way better branding if you did some online, social media marketing with that same money and got your brand out in front of the people who, because let's take it a little further. Let's say Mike Roy is given a Biz 1190 shirt and he wears it to the grocery store. No, let's say he wears it to like a football game at Auburn, right? Not even here in Atlanta. How many people that he runs into at Auburn are going to, like, who don't live in Atlanta are going to tune into Biz 1190, right? No, not going to happen. Now, in fairness to our lovely company here, they don't do that to him or me. So we love Biz 1190 and WAFS and Salem Communications, and we would never call them out. But, you know, some companies, you know, like, if you give your employee a shirt and he wears it to the grocery store, how many people is he actually seeing that are going to see that brand and think, oh, I want to find out more about that brand? I'm going to venture to say, nobody. So what is the purpose of the branded shirts? Is it to make your employees feel like more loyal, like you gave them a gift? Is it sneakily to have them feel like they got a gift and then they're marketing for you, billboarding? You know, like, what are you thinking?
Yeah, kind of yes to both of those points you just made.
Yeah.
I would just have to say.
I mean, I want to say that I think I would rather have the $100 or the $60 or the $40 in cash. Just saying. On that note, I'm going to end on a little positive up note. Jillian Michaels, I was watching one of her yoga videos this week, and she said, get comfortable being uncomfortable. And I love that phrase, and I think you should take it into the week with you. Get comfortable being uncomfortable, because frankly, the only way to get ahead and succeed and do great things is to step outside your comfort zone. So do that this week, and we'll see you next week on Week in Review.